Compromise. What about compromise? Now, we hear about compromise all the time in politics. And we are being told that that is a good thing. And politicians are supposed to compromise, to come to some kind of an understanding. I remember when Mr. Schwarzenegger became the governor of the state of California, he kept talking about how great it is to compromise. And sure enough, he did, didn't he? Right now we have a deal, quote-unquote, in England, where the EU came together and came to an arrangement with Mr. Cameron with the idea that the UK should stay in the EU, but the English press is not really happy about what Mr. Cameron got, and actually Daily Mail wrote today what he got was a compromise on a compromise. Now, they didn't like that too much. But the question I have for us today is, should we ever compromise? You see, God never, ever compromises. And I'm talking about compromising with his word, with his standards, with his character, with his values. He will not do it for one iota. Let's turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, and let's see what Jesus Christ has to say about compromise, if you please. Matthew 5, and of course in verse 17. And he says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." One jot, one tittle. The Greek, it says, iota. In the Hebrew, it says the smallest letter and the smallest stroke in a Hebrew letter. And Christ says not even that will be compromised. I won't take away anything from God's law until it is fulfilled. Now, when you go to the letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, and you read about the Pergamos church, if you have a New King James Bible, there's an introduction there in the text, and it talks about Pergamos, the compromising church. And that's a pretty good description, because even though they had works, even though they held fast to Christ's name, even though they did not deny Christ's faith, they still compromised. And that they listened to those in their midst who taught wrong doctrines. And Christ warned them that if they didn't repent, he would fight against them with the sword of his mouth. Now, what about individuals? What about Christians? We must never compromise, even if everybody around us does. Now, do we try to get as close to the world as possible while thinking, well, we still will make it into the kingdom? And I was in Worldwide, I heard a story told once, and I think it was actually one by Mr. Armstrong, I'm not sure. But the story went something like that. Somebody wanted to hire a driver. And so trying to test him out, he told him to drive near a cliff. Now, one driver wanted to show how good he was, how competent he was, and so he drove as close to the cliff as he possibly could. Now, the other driver drove as far away from the cliff as he possibly could. Who do you think was hired? Now, that's no brainer to us, to me. I remember when we went through the Glacier, I think it was called, Glacier Canyon, whatever. Now, I wasn't the driver. My wife was the driver. I was sitting next to her. And, of course, she had to drive close to the cliff because the road was so narrow. So I was looking down, and I tell you, I was happy once we reached solid ground again. It was just a terrible experience. So again, obviously, the one who was hired was the one who went and drove away as far as possible from that cliff. But sometimes we think we can get as close to the cliff as possible and still make it, talking about the kingdom of God. Notice 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings 18 and verse 21. Mrs. Adair is laughing because she was sitting in the car too when this happened. And I think she was happy too, right, once we got through this. She was very happy as well. 1 Kings 18, verse 21. Now these are the famous words of Elijah. And he told the people of Israel at the time, "How long will you falter between two opinions?" He says, "If the Lord is God, follow him. But if it's Baal, then follow him." And the people didn't tell him one word. Now, the New Jerusalem Bible says that this should be or can be translated as, "How long do you mean to hobble first on one leg and then on the other?" The point is either follow God or follow Baal. You know, in the Bible it talks about somebody who is lukewarm, is neither hot nor cold. That's compromise. It's neither hot nor cold. Faltering between two opinions is compromising. That's why Christ tells us we cannot serve two masters. Either we serve and love the one or the other. We can't do both. Notice how the Samaritans worship God. Notice this in 2 Kings chapter 17. It's quite interesting what's written here about those, how they try to worship and follow God. 2 Kings 17 and beginning in verse 33. It says, "They feared the Lord. They feared the Lord. Yet they served their own gods according to the rituals of the nations from among whom they were carried away. To this day," verse 34, "they continue practicing the former rituals. They do not fear the Lord, nor do they follow their statutes or their ordinances or the law and commandment which the Lord had commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel." And then drop down to verse 41. "Though these nations feared the Lord, yet they served their carved images, and also their children and their children's children have continued doing as their fathers did, even to this day." So they thought they feared God, but in God's eyes they really didn't, because they didn't follow him completely. They mixed their service with pagan concepts. The worldwide church of God ceased to exist. It's now the Grace Communion International. And they cannot be distinguished today from any of the mainstream Protestant churches. They celebrate Christmas. They celebrate Easter. They worship on Sunday. They do not believe in the Sabbath. They do not believe in God's annual holy days. They believe in born again, in the Trinity, in jury duty, in voting in governmental elections, in participating in war. They ordain women to the ministry, and they have their women give sermons. And the list can go on and on. But you see, it didn't start there. It started slowly. The warning is clear. Beware of little compromise, of a little leaven. Because as we will know, ultimately the leaven will leaven the whole lump. In our most recent member letter, which some of you have already received, we are saying this. "It always starts very small, but it grows bigger if it is not stopped right away. To give an example, The Church of the Eternal God and its international affiliates have adopted from their inception the biblical policy of not producing religious articles written by a woman, as this would not be in accordance with Scripture. Permitting this would lead to further wrong compromise, such as having women give public prayers in church services or at other church functions, read scriptures in church, and ultimately give testimonials, sermonettes, and sermons. To give additional examples, when one begins to water down the Sabbath and the holy days by skipping attendance or engaging in activities which are not appropriate during God's holy time, when one is willing to change basic doctrines about the nature of God, born again, the prohibition against voting in governmental elections, participating in jury duty, and joining the military, then one becomes a less than faithful servant in God's work of standing up boldly for his truth. I know Mr. Mitchell will talk about the servant of God in a few minutes, and I think he's probably going to elaborate a little bit on what we have written. So the question then is, how can we prevent from engaging in compromise? Now, there are several keys. One of the important ones is that we have to be convinced of the truth and that we have to love it with all our heart. You see, if you later go to the book of Hosea, chapter 10 and verse 2, it says that the people's heart is divided and now they are held guilty. Now, the margin in the New King James Bible says that it means the heart is divided in loyalty. The Lamsa translation says, the heart is wavering. When we serve God, but with a wavering heart, with a heart which is not steady, which is divided in loyalty, we will compromise. When the opportunity arises, we just will. Notice an example in 2 Chronicles chapter 25. 2 Chronicles chapter 25 and verse 2. Here is a king of Judah. Notice what it says. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. He had a good outward appearance. He did what was right, but his heart wasn't really in it. And so the opportunity arose. And notice what happens if you go down to verse 27. 2 Corinthians 25 and verse 27. After the time that Amaziah turned away from following the Lord, then they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem. He fled, and then they killed him. Now, he did start good by serving God, but he didn't do it with a loyal heart. And then he ultimately fell away from God. You know, there are many scriptures in the Bible which talk about the fact that God's law has to be in our heart. It's not enough to just do it outwardly. You can look at Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 7 later, talking about people in whose heart is God's law. But you see, we have to love God with all of our heart. We can't have a divided heart. We cannot try to serve God and something or someone else. And we have this admonition over and over. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. Here's what the people of old were told. That is what we are being told today. That is what the Church of God is being told. Many in the past didn't follow that command. One church which used to be part of the Church of God is now a Protestant group doing all the wrong things there are. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. And again, Deuteronomy chapter 10, beginning in verse 12. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? What does he require of us? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him. And to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. Now, if you do this, we will not compromise. But if we do not retain the love of God, the love of the truth in our hearts, we will fall for deception. We will compromise. You know, many have done so in the past. The Bible says that many in the church of God will do so in the future. Please make sure that you are not one of them.